Whether or not we all realize it, those of us who serve the Lord are participating in the most epic adventure of all time, space, and history. I think it's about time that we start celebrating the miraculous and wonderful ways that God touches our lives in everyday circumstances. I'm Karen Pennington, and this is Daily Adventures in Grace.
Hey friends, Karen Pennington here. And have you ever had one of those texts sent to you that are super long, like five paragraphs, and you're like, holy moly, this is a text, not an email, and I wouldn't need to read an email that long. Anyways, this isn't a newsletter. Have you ever had one of those like at night at like 8 o'clock when you're ready to go to bed and then someone sends this, oh, quick thought, and then like a bunch of paragraphs, and you're like, this isn't quick, I can't handle this right now. Moreover, have you been in a conversation anytime with somebody where you're trying to have an exchange, but that person just keeps spitting out their ideas, and maybe not they're bad, maybe they're not bombarding, but after a while it kind of gets annoying because you're like, dialogue, can I say something? Can I think of something? Well, I'm here to confess to you that I can be and have been both of those people. I don't always dominate a conversation. I try not to, but I am a very verbal person, so I know how to listen. But when I lose my focus, sometimes I'll just total verbal explosion of the mouth. Everything comes out, and part of it is because I really don't hold back a lot anyways. My filter's pretty low. I try to be kind, and I try to honor God, and beyond that, pretty much anything goes. But I process things verbally, so a lot of times I'll talk things through. That's why writing works really well for me, because I can throw all the words on this page and then I can edit it down and pare it down to what matters. But verbally speaking, a lot of times I'll just go over and over and over and over and over stuff till I get to the heart of what matters. And that's probably why these posts are, you know, 15, 20 minutes and not five. I have friends that could probably say it in four sentences. Well, so last night I had this idea, this brainstorm that I wanted to share. I wanted to write quick brainstorm, but it was one of those texts. It was like a five paragraph text. I've written papers shorter than that text that I wrote. And I realized afterwards, an hour or two afterwards, as I'm kind of lying in bed, that I could have said all of that in one sentence or two sentences. I just wanted to know, hey, would anybody be interested in going Christmas caroling and handing out gifts at the senior home next to our church? Not a hard thing, but of course, I had to say it in a zillion words. And in the process, I think I lost a little. I think I lost some of what I was trying to say. I probably lost the ability to hear back from people who really didn't have time at 7:38 at night to read through something and respond to it because they're trying to shut their brains down. And I mean, I'm not kicking myself for it. I'm just recognizing this is a thing that I really have to work on sometimes. This economy of words. Sometimes you don't have to put the words down. Sometimes you don't even have to think the words. That's my problem. Even when I don't say them out loud, my brain is always moving so quickly. I actually have to color at night. I have this adult coloring book that has, like, you know, those little tiny patterns, because my brain doesn't shut down so easily. And there's a gift in being able to just have lots of thoughts. Like, for instance, I get to talk every morning and work through my thoughts. Thank you. You're very therapeutic in listening to me. Thank you. But then there's that thing where I miss stuff sometimes because, you know, there's a time to listen and a time to talk. And I tend to be a little too generous or maybe bombastic, or I don't know. I use too many words. Maybe gluttonous with my words. That's the right word. And I know that because of that, sometimes I miss out on what God is trying to save me and wants to save me. I miss out on blessing because I'm too busy. I won't shut my mouth long enough to hear them or receive them. And I don't know if any of you have ever felt that way. You don't really have to be talkers to feel that way. Your mind can be flooded with worry that goes beyond words. Your mind can be flooded with ambition. Your heart can be, it's pretty much anything. Those are all words, thoughts, ideas. And I think we've realized it. Our church got to a point where just over the past couple weeks. I think we were really trying to cry out in prayer to God. But here's the thing: when you're praying, particularly in a group conversation, sometimes we can become uncomfortable with the silence. And the silence a lot of times is where good stuff happens. And then sometimes we get very emotional, and in our efforts to help push the will of God along, we try to interpret what we think the will of God is. So our prayer time, whether corporately or privately, can turn in very quickly into this thing where we have a list of expectations. You know, oh God, make this person better. Do this right now. Help this president win the election. Help this president not win the election. Yes, I did go there. Heal this. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with asking for healing. There's nothing wrong with bringing our needs and even our desires before God and laying them at his feet. But sometimes the words really kind of junk up our spirit because we spend so much time with the words that we forget that prayer is a conversation and we forget to listen. And some of the most deep, meaningful prayer times are times when we don't use the words, because let's think about it. The promise in 1 John 5 is that if we ask anything according to God's will, that we know he hears us, and we know that if he hears us, no matter what we ask, we know we have it. So the key here is to ask according to God's will. And how do we know what God's will is if we're not listening to him? You know, I think I get so easy, so big on the words, and this is what I think your will is, God, and this is what I think, and this is how I feel, and it's fine, but there's just time to stop and listen. And I think over the past couple weeks in our prayer time and at church, I think there was this conviction, kind of a combined one for those of us that were like, you know, we think we're talking too much. So we had these times of silence, you know, we spent maybe an hour and a half in our prayer meetings Monday nights, and there's a time of silence, and it gets sometimes a little awkward because we want to fill it with our words, and we want to fill it with, you know, we want to manage, and we don't want to be silent. It's like, what's happening? I used to think, oh, nobody has faith. What's wrong if people aren't talking? They're just not speaking up to God. And it's really not like that. I guess sometimes it can be like that. I don't know. But more often, a lot of times it's like, just give God a chance to speak, you know, he knows what he's talking about. Let him talk. Right. And I'm saying this to myself. And the book of Ecclesiastes kind of lands here. And I talked a little bit about Ecclesiastes yesterday because I'm fascinated with Solomon, who I've said multiple times, you know, smartest, richest king in the world, also super dumb, all spread through. It wasn't just one thing. He had so much wisdom and he had so much business knowledge and he knew how to work with people. And he also made some really stupid decisions because he used some worldly wisdom to build up his wealth and to build up his connections. And in the process, he ignored some of the things that God had said to him. And in the end, he writes this book, Ecclesiastes, which, honest to goodness, most of it's a downer. The word meaningless comes over and over. I did not do a word search, but it comes up over and over and over again. And it's crazy what he's saying is meaningless. Riches are meaningless. Wisdom is meaningless. Just toiling for the sake of toil is meaningless. And what he really lands on is, the only thing that's really worth pursuing is God's will. So if God's will for your life is to work in a field all day, that's what's going to bring you the depth and joy and meaning in life. And that's a good thing. If God's will is, and he used the term field because there was a lot of field workers there. He said, we'd said this yesterday. I'll get to it. Ecclesiastes 5:18. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of the life God has given us, for this is our lot. So to understand and to be grateful for and to live according to God's will for your life is really the only reason to live. Pursuing anything short of God's will for our life will only ever lead to emptiness in the end. I feel so bad. I mean, I have compassion for those who, most people, struggle for other things. Some people struggle to conquer for God, and they call it for God, but they're not, you know, listening. They're not listening. They're just doing stuff. We all know those people that just won't shut up. Okay, I can be one of those. I'm going to tell you that. I mean, I can be one of those. But they just won't shut up, and you're trying to tell them what's good for them, and you know what's good for them. They keep just doing stupid things, and not stupid people do stupid things, and running in circles like a gerbil on a wheel because they're not listening. So here's what Solomon says to this. as someone who knew how to listen to God and also knew how not to listen to God. He literally royally screw up so often. But here's what he says. This is New Revised Standard Version, Ecclesiastes 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to sacrifice the sacrifice offered by fools. For they do not know how to keep from doing evil. Never be rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be quick to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you upon earth. Know your place, man and woman. Therefore, let your words be few. Such a hard thing. I think Solomon just called me a fool. But let's keep going. For dreams come with many cares, and fool's voice with many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay fulfilling it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. Do not say before the messenger that it will. Do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your words and destroy the work of your hands? With many dreams come vanities and a multitude of words, but fear God. Now, see, this one's a little hard for me as I'm working through it because I love dreams. I love making plans. And my whole life used to be like, oh, I get to make the plans, God, and you get to change them. And sometimes that's wrong, according to Solomon. You know, Solomon just called me a fool like 3 times. It kind of stings to be called a fool by, you know, 3,500-year-old king. But the 3,000-year-old king. But I get it, you know. I think there's a place for dreaming. I think that there's a place for laying what we have before God. But there's a difference between laying our dreams at God's feet as an offering to say, I'm going to set down my need to validate my own thoughts right now, God. There's a difference between doing that and just giving them as a ransom, as a demand list. This is what you need to do, God. This is what I want, so you need to do it for me. Some people call that faith. I call that selfishness. We do get to have dreams. We do get to have dreams. Are wonderful. I love dreams. I probably will never give up on one of my big dreams of becoming a best-selling author. Probably a bigger dream was to get married, and I got that, and I'm happy, and that's a more important thing. And then to have a, you know, beautiful daughter, beautiful baby, and I got that. But you know, that dream of being a best-selling author, I'm probably never gonna give up on that. I hope that happens at some point. And that's okay. But it can't be a demand. To act as if, well, I want this, so you must want it, God. That's infected our whole society, you know. I want to live this way, and it makes me happy, and God wants me happy. So it must be God's will for my life, and you're wrong if you tell me any otherwise. And it happens. I get this with all these words. We have these new thoughts and these new words, and there's just no stopping point to them. It's like this flood of words, and I do that. And you know what? It's not that God can't handle our words when we worship, when we pray. It's not that God can't handle our thoughts. It's not like God doesn't know them anyways. And there's a time and place to share everything with him. Maybe write it down and edit. Maybe that's what I need to do more often. But, you know, this overabundance of words, it's not hurting God. It's hurting us. Because when we're talking, we can't be listening. So do we want to give God a list of our demands as we see them and understand them and just expect, you know, change it if you want. Talk to me if you want, God. You know, I say that all the time. Change it if you want, God. And I still, okay, God, I get it. If I'm wrong, I want you to change my plans. But when that's the default of I'm going to say whatever I want and you just fix it. Listen, I've been an editor before and I've edited some really cruddy stuff. And it's one thing to notice a missing comma here or there, but people write stuff that is almost unintelligible. And it's like, why? You put no care into this. You just gave me a bunch of crud and said, make something different. It's not even your stuff anymore. If I have to change it beyond when you can recognize it's you. So, there's a certain care I think we need to have in coming to God. Not that we need to be afraid. You need to fear mistakes. We're going to make those. But in saying, I'm going to be a little bit more careful. I'm going to think and, for heaven's sakes, I'm going to listen. Because God, if I really want what you want, if I care about what you want, I should care about it enough to ask you, what do you want? To listen, to be a little uncomfortable with the silence. Let me tell you, these two prayer meetings we've had the past couple weeks have been probably the best we've had, maybe the best yet. Because out of these moments of silence, there would be like words, like somebody would give two or three words or just one picture that God gave him. And it was confirmed, like God was talking in so many new ways. It was very convicting because we had gotten so specific. And there's nothing wrong with a specific request sometimes. But sometimes we tailor our requests to our own desires and we forget that the first thing is surrender. It's God's will. That whole name it and claim it thing, we don't get to name it and claim it. If God names it, we can claim it. So it's worth our while to figure out what God's naming. You know what I'm saying? I'm still thinking that text. There's sometimes just power in less words. That's why things are sold with 3 to 4 word slogans, not with memorandums that people will read. That's why people buy books based on titles and headlines. There's more to it. There's a depth to it. But in order for us to really understand, sometimes we have to be able to put it in just a couple of words. And that's my prayer today. Dear Lord, teach our hearts to be silent. Forgive me for my overabundance of words, Lord Jesus. I know you can handle it. I know you can take it. And thank you for dealing with my babbling, but just help me to be silent. Just this moment, Lord, and for you, I'm just gonna practice it. Let's just be silent for a second and see if there's a word or a phrase God's giving you. Lord in heaven, tell us how we should pray and what we should pray for. Hear the word peace. I speak peace upon your lives today. Be blessed, my friends.